The line between fact and fiction has been blurred. Fake news is running rampant. Every decade, tens of fake documentaries are released to the unsuspecting public. We're talking about mockumentaries today.
Tens of documentaries.
Tens.
Why just tens?
Alex,
tens.
No, that was great. That's a joke. That's a joke.
I tried to like do a Google search to see how many mockumentaries are released a year.
Yeah. It's like tens. I could find it's like less than nothing. Ten.
Yeah. I mean, what? There's Borat 2 released this year, and then Borat 1 released 6 years ago. So I feel like tens is generous.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm including found films just to like, you know, buff up the statistic a little bit, just to really help me out.
Yeah. Yeah, because you somehow consider found footage movies mockumentaries.
Anything that has looks like it's recorded in a shaky cam sounds like a mockumentary to me.
Yeah, because Blair Witch is so much fun, right?
It's a mockumentary of a supposed witch. And either way, I'm Chris. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm with my co-host, Tyler.
Yo.
Faison.
You.
And our very first guest, Woo. Fabio.
Hello, everyone.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's right. We have guests now. We have evolved.
Hell yeah.
By one.
By one.
Nice to meet you.
And we also have Borat hiding under the table.
I what hide the shit? Here for a purpose of a Kazakhstan secret mission.
How long have you been under the table for?
Do not worry.
Tyler's really going for it.
Yeah, I know.
He's committed to the bit.
Borat's right here.
And he's gone.
What the? Goodbye.
He's not under the table. Where did he go?
All right, Tyler, you wanted to introduce our first movie?
Our first movie, yeah. It is This is Spinal Tap, the basically first mockumentary type film. It's directed by Rob Reiner, and it follows a fictional band, Spinal Tap, and it just goes through their lives as they're about to promote a new album.
Yeah, is it the first mockumentary ever?
It's what most people...
The first popular one, at least.
1984?
Yes, something it was like 1984. That? It's what most people consider it, because I don't know if any other film before that really... did the whole fake band or fake whatever, had the whole interview process with them and made it look like they were just a real-life band. Because, I mean, when you're watching it, if someone said, hey, this is a band, it's like, okay, I'll believe it. They have their own songs. They have their own, the drummer, guitarist, vocalist, they have everything. So
yeah, I mean, if you didn't tell me this was, like, a mockumentary, I also would have very much felt like this was just some British band from the British Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it's very time. British.
The whole movie's like, very British, yeah. It feels like, I guess, I don't want to say it feels like Monty Python, but there's a hint of that type of humor in there. You know, like slightly absurdist type.
And the dry as hell.
But like it's deep, but dry as hell. Like they play it all super straight. It's like, yeah, our drummer died. Yeah, he had vomit in his mouth. We don't know whose vomit. But
you can't really test that. Fabio, what do you think?
I remember you guys saying that you guys wouldn't think I'd like it as much, but I was actually a really big fan of it.
Okay.
It was, I actually really enjoyed it. Like, once I realized it was a mockumentary, because I didn't know what a mockumentary was.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
so did you think they were a real band?
Huh?
Did you think they were a real band?
No, I read the synopsis on wherever I watched it, and I loved it because it was, like, I felt like it just exaggerated the, like, stereotypes of, like a rock band.
Yeah.
And I feel like they did that really well with, like, showing how, like dumb the band was.
Yeah.
Like, we were the originals. And then they had to change their names. Like, there was a group on the West called the Originals.
So we changed it, and then they changed their name, so we changed it back.
Yeah, they changed it to, I forget where they changed it to.
Was that New Originals or something stupid?
I think it was New Originals, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're like, oh, but the other change also changed, the other band also changed their name, so, and, like, it didn't even matter.
It's...
Yeah, I just loved it a lot because everything was like just going towards them being like being dumb. Them just constantly trying to like relive their glory days when they're not really like really packing the same. Like they used to pack like 10,000, 15,000 seater arenas, and now they're only doing like 1,500s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like their main audience is like younger boys.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed like the over sexualization that they had with the band. Like, cause like that's like rock bands are kind of known for like being like demonic. Or at least like overly sexualized.
Yeah,
and they did both of those.
Yep. Yeah,
especially like on stage, they have like really tight pants.
Yeah,
to, like,
yeah. Armadillos.
To show like armadillos in their pants, and it was crazy. God.
Some might even say zucchinis.
Oh my god,
cucumbers. Scene.
So yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. I think they played off the stereotypes pretty well. Even though I don't really know that much about like rock bands, I don't like I'm not like well versed in like what they do and like how they go about their music. But
this was basically
the stereotypes
just like every
stereotype
of a rock band put into the movie.
Yeah, the whole most of the time that they think they're way more smarter than they think they are, or just whatever they're doing is way more pretentious.
Yeah.
Like it's the line near the end when who's the main guy, David or Nigel? Nigel's, I know, the guy who left. God, oh, it's David.
The wrong person.
Yeah, I saw. I don't know names, and I also saw this movie a week ago, Tyler.
Well, no, yeah, you straight up just don't know names.
Go with hair color. Do the hair color.
What's our guest name? Tyler, wait, what's our guest name? What's our guest name right
Borat.
Here?
Borat. Technically right.
Technically, you're not wrong, yeah.
What do you mean a guest?
What do you come from?
Well, I really just didn't think it down.
What does he come from?
Tyler, in Tyler, my country, we tap the spines and we take their fluids.
Is that what they do?
Yes.
You want to go into the process more? I'm kind of interested.
A government scientist. Dr. Yamakov.
Oh, no, not Yamakov again.
Were you about to go into that bit where they're talking about, like, oh, the end of the band? And he goes into that whole existential crisis. He's like, oh, what does it mean to be the end? Is the end of
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
oh,
like,
that's.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
David's whole bit at the end, he's getting interviewed. It's like, oh, so, by the report. It's like, oh, so. Nigel, your guitar, I think, what he's either guitarist or the front man, it doesn't really matter, but he says, like, oh, your front man has left you, what do you think about the end? It's like, well, you know, the end of the universe is a thing we're never gonna face, so how can you know if it's the end or not? So really, I feel like it's that, and everyone's like, yeah, yeah. It's like, no, what the fuck did you just say?
He was like, what is the end, you know? Like, the end of our band doesn't mean the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, then he went, like, the whole spiel.
Man, yeah. I like it. Like, this had a lot of tropes that, like, aren't just, like, it's obviously, like, British rockers, like, Rolling Stones type, all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, I thought of Radiohead, so.
Yeah, I thought of Rolling Stones. But it also kind of reminded me of, like, a little bit the Beatles, especially just, like, they had their own Yoko Ono, who came in and...
And screwed everything up.
Screwed up the band, yeah. With his ODX
lines. Yeah, oh my god. The girlfriend slash manager is my favorite. So, yeah, she brought us new concepts. And well, he's a Leo, so he has to have the Bane. No, you're a Cancer, so you have to have this on your Bane. Everyone's just, like, so confused.
Fabio, god. As someone who has watched The Stars before, tell me, were her decisions correct?
So, the way she, like, portrayed the actual, like, costumes... It like went in line of like kind of like the animals that she used, like, okay. For like Leo's, it's like you're like the lion, mm-hmm. is like the main symbol,
yeah.
So of course the person who's a Leo has to have like a mane, yeah. Ooh. So they're gonna have like a mane of some sort, mm-hmm. for Cancers,
crab,
yeah and
no hair,
so they did like the yin and yang thing. I don't know why for,
wouldn't
for
that be
Cancer.
Gemini.
Like, yeah, it kind of makes a little more sense for Gemini, but I don't know what she's going on there, but...
Welcome to our astrological podcast.
My favorite thing was when they were at the airport, and she was handing out the sheets. She was like, everyone get a sheet, and it was like, all right, well, all the Capricorns have to be in one room, yeah. And it was just the worst. She was the worst.
She is the worst.
Yeah, okay, I want to bring up one thing, the mime servers. You guys remember that when they were at the house?
Oh, do you know? Did you recognize who played one of them?
What the fuck is he talking about?
I don't know.
Because one of them is like, one of them is Billy Crystal.
In the beginning, yeah. They went to.
Oh, wait. No.
The mime.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about Princess Bride for a second there, because I think Billy Crystal is also in that.
They went to a house I think it was like a collab or sponsorship with some like rich person. And the servers at the party were mimes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're looking it up here. Okay.
I had to pull the scene up.
Yeah.
I was so confused. And then, like, the one mime is telling the other mime to, like, hurry the fuck up. Yeah. Yeah, he's just being, like, he's totally out of character.
I'm pretty sure that mime is Billy Crystal.
Maybe.
It could be.
I mean, he's listed as Morty the Mime. He has to be one of them, so.
Yeah.
Morty the Mime.
It might be him.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, I want to ask, servers. What's everyone's favorite bit in this? Because, like, I there's one bit that stands out to me. I'll save mine to the end. Fabio, you first as our guest.
Have a lot of funny bits.
Well, you get one bit.
Yeah.
One bit, Fabio.
Come back to me.
Okay, Tyler, favorite bit?
Probably the... it's either right, between... No. Okay, I'll give mine as the whole bit with the drummer.
Oh, yeah.
So for some reason, they make fun of the fact that most rock and rollers back then were either OD or die early on. But in this case, they're like, the first time, they're like, oh, yeah, you had some trouble with your drummer. It's like, yeah, he sadly passed away. Like, we already said the joke about he died on his own vomit and they didn't know whose vomit it was. But then they're like, oh, yeah, but what about your second drummer? It's like, oh, yeah, he died in a gardening accident. It's like, okay. And your third one? Oh, you know, spontaneous combustion.
Happens to tens of
just
people
happens.
Every year.
And then at the end, the fourth drummer, who has been there the whole movie, also just explodes for no reason.
Tyler, going on that, this isn't my bit, but when he was interviewing him in the bathtub,
oh yeah,
he was like, the law of averages say I will survive, so I'll be fine.
I mean, that's like the thought process I used to live my life.
Yeah.
The law of average.
Yeah.
I should be fine.
It was just so dumb. He's like, the law of averages say you'll be okay. And the guy's like in the tub, like, yeah, yeah, I won't combust.
Like,
and then he spontaneously combusts.
If we were on a room together, right, and three of you, like if one of you spontaneously combusts, the chance of anyone else in the room spontaneously combust drops significantly.
Exactly.
And then once two of you spontaneously combust, even lower. And once a third of you spontaneously combust, it is very unlikely.
Is that how statistics works? So if I roll a dice and I get a six, does that mean if I roll
a much less chance of getting a six the next time? When have you ever rolled two d20s in a row?
Pretty often, I have a bunch of dice at home. I'm the one who brings the dice to game nights.
That's true.
Yeah, you got nothing on this one.
Okay, but that's like, but that's out of 20. Imagine if it was out of a million for spontaneously combusting. In a row?
Chris,
next to each other?
The chances don't change. That's not how statistics work.
I nearly failed a statistics class. I think I know what I'm talking about. I nearly failed two statistics classes.
So this is a really small dumb bit. It's really quick, but my favorite one has to be when they were at the hotel. And the manager was talking to the concierge, and the concierge is like, "I'm sorry, sir. You said seven rooms. We put you on the seventh floor." And the manager's getting angry. He's like, "How do you expect us to fit 14 people on one bed?" And the concierge goes like, "Don't tempt me, sir."
that was good.
It was too funny.
Faison, what about you?
Mine probably has to be. Well, I don't think it was that funny, but him just going, "These go up to 11."
Yeah. that's the most famous part of the movie.
I don't think it was like the funniest part. I just think that it was the one that became the most popular. It's like a legit phrase now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it is quite funny because the guy's just like, "You know, but what if you just make 10 the highest?
Yeah.
And you just crank it
then
up
it
to
won't 10? Be 11.
But this one has up to 11. It goes up.
What about you, Chris? What was your favorite?
Stonehenge.
When he writes the schematics,
yeah, he draws the schematics on a napkin. He buys them, and he's like, "Well, look, it says 17 inches right there. This is exactly what you asked for." And then when they use it in order to try and get a sense of perspective, they hire people of shorter stature in order to play the role and dance around it in what is.
And they're still playing.
They're still playing, but it is truly the weirdest fucking thing I saw in this movie. And I just couldn't stop laughing.
Did that happen because of like the metric system?
No.
Like the two things, in the UK they don't use like feet, right?
No, they use these meters and
inches. Yeah.
So maybe he thought he was doing meters, but then it just translates to inches.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It was funny because like when she pulled out the schematic, he was like, "Forget the napkin."
The fact that he only gave her the napkin, he didn't redraw
it. He's like, "That's all you gave me. 18 inches, look."
Oh, it's so dumb.
I loved it.
It is definitely a movie.
It is. Good movie.
Yeah, and one that's, again, that amplifier scene is referenced in everything outside of movies. Like, you go to probably Guitar Center, someone's going to make that stupid joke.
Like, every it's like a
So, if I went to Guitar Center and I made that joke, am I cultured?
No, actually. Now you're not, because we talked about the movie. So now you can't make that joke.
Well, I mean, it's like going to Guitar Center and trying to play Stairway to Heaven, and everyone gets annoyed by that.
I thought it'd be Wonderwall.
Or that.
Yeah, I feel like both of those work.
Okay, so I have a question, but I'll save that for a little bit. Another thing I wanted to bring up was for the provocative album cover.
Yeah.
Right? Well, their album was called Don't Snip the Glove.
Yeah.
And at first, that was like an OJ reference.
I think this would be a little bit before. Oh, they produced
before,
OJ.
This is before OJ or after?
And then I'm like, wait, like, do you mean like a glove, like a condom? So like, don't smell like.
Yeah, that's actually correct.
Like a used condom?
I think it was.
It was pretty provocative, right? What they were saying, but then it was great because what was it? The woman he was talking to was like, "Oh, it's 1982. This is in the 60s. We don't have that mentality anymore. We're not sexist." And I was like, "Huh? Did we kind of like say the same things like today? Like, oh yeah, it's not like the like we have, how we have like anymore? PC, you know? Like, oh yeah, now everything is like politically correct.
Yeah,
and like is that like, the same like variant of like politically correct like back in the day?"
Oh man, it's just the way to know. It's always gonna suck, and it always has sucked.
Yeah,
I think that's the takeaway. I do like in that. I think it's in that same scene afterwards when the manager's like explaining why this was a bad idea to them. They're like, "Well, no, the problem is that you guys, you know, you put a woman on the leash. If it was one of you on the leash, it'd be fine."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, if one of us was on the leash, it would be good then."
They're like, "You gotta spin it. You gotta
spin it." They put a spin on it, didn't they? Yeah. They really made it clever.
They saw Duke at the store, right? And like they heard fans screaming, and they're like, "Oh, here comes the fans!" And the fans went to the guy named Duke.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, Duke, you're in town. How you doing?" They were simming for Duke. And then his like manager was like, "Nah, fuck off. He's not talking to you." And then as they walk away, he's like, "Oh, what a fucking wanker." They're talking shit because they're jealous of him.
I love the scene also when they're in the they go to they're gonna do like a signing. And the guy who owns the shop's like, "I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. Please kick me in the ass. Just kick me in the ass."
He didn't own the shop. So he was friends with the owner of the shop.
Okay.
He was like their like ambassador for like the state, right? So he's like he promotes them like in the state. And they had a really funny scene where he was like, "What about our relationship?" And he's like, "This isn't anything personal." Like, no, fuck the personal. What about our relationship? And then I'm just there. I'm like, "Isn't that personal? Like, isn't a relationship personal?" Yeah. Okay, so I did have one question that I was really excited to ask you guys, that I feel like this would go really well. So at the end of the movie, they're talking about the end, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And the end of the band. And they've been prominent in the UK, they've been great in the US, but now they're kind of falling off.
Yeah.
So then like towards the end, like when they went to Japan, because that's where their other careers start, they kind of like, it's like that cycle of like the band never really dying. And then we find out at some point, like, oh, there was 37 people. There was 37 people in this band. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the end, like, the two main guitarists came back together, right? Yeah. How one of them left because the other one's girlfriend became the manager. Mm-hmm. So does that bond mean nothing because of the other people in the band? Or does that bond mean everything because they came back together?
I would say everything, just because they've known each other since they were children.
Yeah.
So they are the band, and then they just supplement people in and out. I mean, like, I'll be honest, I'm grooming you to replace Tyler in about 2 years.
Is that how we're doing this one? What? I blanked out. What's going on?
Naughty, naughty.
Any response to that, Tyler?
I'm sorry. I'm just more focused that he came in through the window.
It's like, was that a mustache? Was that a squirrel? No, that was his mustache. that was the question I wanted to ponder.
No, I do think that, like, those two are, like, the core of the band, and the 35 other guys are just, you know, whoever they have.
They're
in the
disposable
machine.
Pieces. They just die.
I mean,
what,
like, 33 of those are probably drummers.
Again,
some of them just combust.
Yeah, they blow up. It happens.
Two of their drummers spontaneously combusted. The law of averages doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, they don't mean shit.
This next drummer, though, he's going to last. I'm telling you guys. He's going to make it.
Shouldn't the second one have made it because the first one combusted?
Wait, no. He could have. He died because of a gardening accident. You don't know what the accident was.
No, I'm sorry. We're talking about the second one who combusted.
Oh, I thought you meant the second drummer in general.
The fourth drummer. Well, here's the thing. Sure, maybe he could have. But now this fifth drummer has even higher chances of not combusting spontaneously.
But how would
but
he
what's,
die?
What's the beginning chance of spontaneously combusting as the drummer?
Search that up.
Okay, well, hear me out. What if, like, because you're schmooving on the drums,
you just get
what
too
if
hot.
That's like what like keeps your blood pumping so fast
you're
just spontaneously combust?
So
yeah,
much and he's just boom.
Yeah,
you
produce too much. Your inertia.
So wait, wouldn't that mean you're a great drummer?
Energy.
Wouldn't that mean you're a great drummer?
You're such a good drummer
that you blow up.
Dave Grohl is constantly at risk of blowing up.
We figured it out.
Yeah.
Wait, what are the odds of spontaneous combustion? Because they're not zero. That's the thing. The odds of any person here blowing up at any given point is not zero.
I don't know how much I believe in spontaneous combustion. Like,
fewer than 150 cases of spontaneous human combustion have been reported over the last 2,000 years.
That's very low. Very low, but never zero.
It's not zero.
I love how this article is how to avoid spontaneous.
All right, now
there's
some
people here who are terrified of it, and they have to look it up.
Look up barefoot sightings.
Why? You want to compare them?
There are more barefoot sightings in the U.S. than human combustions reported.
Oh, shit, I looked at fightings, not sightings.
Bear fights?
Barefoot? I mean, Bigfoot?
Did I say barefoot?
You said barefoot, yeah. I was very confused. I was like, barefoot, is that?
Bigfoot.
Is there a correlation between Bigfoot and spontaneous combusting? Is it that, like, you see Bigfoot and you can't take his full image, and then that's when you
spontaneously combust? But then who reports the spontaneous combustion? Or what? We only have 150 reported.
It's a self-report.
I saw Barefoot Ben.
It's a self-report.
Get Barefoot out of here. Where a bear? Where my bear Oksana? I hear a Barefoot.
Bear Roxana?
Wait, you bought a bear?
Hey, go back.
You bought a bear?
Where my bear?
I bought a...
What did he look up? What did he look? Okay, when you guys make the tweet for this podcast, please use that image.
Wait, hold on. Okay, this is gonna
describe the image.
That's supposed to be Bigfoot.
It was? I thought it was
That's supposed to be Bigfoot. But wasn't there a senator who got really into like Bigfoot porn?
What?
Hold on, I'm gonna find it. I saw this online. Hold on.
Welcome to Fox News. We now. Now at 11.
Okay, no, oh, I got it. Bigfoot. Oh no, come on, my internet.
Bigfoot erotica becomes an issue in Virginia congressional campaign.
Yeah, so this guy has a real thing for big feet. Bigfoot, and he starts like writing a lot of Bigfoot erotica online. Oh, and it was like,
I mean, hey, bro, if it's his hobby, just let him rock, you know? Like, you can be a great legislator and still enjoy barefoot erotica.
I mean,
I'm not going to say Bigfoot. I'm just going to say Bigfoot.
I just keep going.
It's the gang.
He also retweeted an image of Bigfoot's dong.
Did
okay,
he really?
Okay, but so. Retweeting down. On my timeline is different than you liking
did?
Some shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, he drew an image.
He drew it and posted it on his Instagram.
Yeah, he drew a picture.
A hobby's a hobby.
I don't know, man. This guy's drawing big.
Just don't retweet it, you know? That's it.
He put it on Insta.
Okay, just don't put it on the gram.
don't share it with everybody. We don't need to say
I like
that.
How we traveled from spontaneous combustion
to barefoot
penis.
Yeah, no, that's it.
To a politician.
That's an easy segue.
Yeah, that's an easy segue.
Into each other. That's the realistic way to do things. Right? Spontaneous combustion, yeah. Right to barefoot.
God. I mean, it makes sense. Things that are very low, like low odds of happening. Blowing up and seeing barefoot.
And seeing barefoot, yeah.
Barefoot.
Yeah. Well, you know who else blew up? Andy Samberg in Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping.
Smooth as butter, boys. Smooth as butter.
Basically, this is a movie about a band with... Connor, was that his name?
Connor for real. Yeah, right? When he went solo, that was his solo name.
Chris, who knows names,
right?
Chris, what was the name we just said?
No, it was such an out of loop name. Like, just gotta know this one.
Yeah. It's just Connor.
Connor for real.
Him and two other people don't remember their names. Don't really care about them. Let's be honest here.
Wow, you're just like Connor for real.
Exactly. That's why I said it.
So I don't care if you forget my name. I just want money. I just want to be your friend for money.
Yeah, eventually, the three of them break up. They all go on their separate careers and realize that they all kind of suck without each other.
Nah, man. Listen, that guy who went to his own farm and then had his own marijuana plant and recording studio, he's living life.
Oh, he's
rich.
He
wasn't making any music.
But he was making a lot of money.
He wasn't making music.
He wasn't happy.
No.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Because he needed to make music.
And he can't make it.
And he got screwed
up. Yeah, his singing was pretty bad.
Musics are the real drugs.
Right.
But yeah, in the end, they all get back together and, you know, do this whole thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. It's a fun movie. I mean, have you guys ever seen Lonely Island?
Of course.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Literally a week ago.
Explain to me what is Lonely Island. I am new to this.
Shut the fuck up, Tyler.
Yeah, fuck you, Tyler. You're not going to get me into this bit.
What the mean of Lonely Island?
Explain it to Borat since he's clearly
an island. Fuck, they got me. Off the coast of a lonely.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Can we just pretend he's not here?
Yeah.
Not through the window. He's not climbing out of the window.
It's not your scene yet.
You'll get the signal, Borat.
I'll be back.
He used the door this time.
That's actually a hidden cut of Terminator where they hired
Terminator. What?
Terminator. They got Borat to play Terminator. I'll be back.
Oh, okay. I got it now.
My bits are perfect. My bits are flawless.
Well, sure.
But yeah, like this is literally Lonely Island the movie. For those who haven't seen Lonely Island somehow,
well,
they're peak musical comedy.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, like they did the Hot Rod, but yeah, you guys, since this has the music in it.
Yeah, like
it's just parodies, right?
It's just constant parodies, endless parody songs, and some of them are so good. Like I think my favorite.
All of them are so good.
There's something. Yeah, I was about to say I think my favorite is, and then I thought about another one, and I was like, well, but I can't say
that
one's
pretty
right
good
now.
Too.
I was gonna say Fuck Bin Laden.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the best song.
It's the catchiest.
It's so.
It's
catchy.
What sticks in your head.
Yeah, I have like vague memories of hearing that song in the backseat of a car. That's the only context I have for it. But I was there.
That song is what unites the entire United States.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Wait. What about Not Gay or Equality?
Not Gay. Not Gay is a great one.
Or
I'm not gay.
I forgot about that one.
What's the one where they're like legalize it or something? Where they're talking about legalizing crack?
Oh yeah, it's an old one. It's not
I don't
in this.
That
it's
one.
A, it's
one.
An old one. Was it not in the?
Was,
I don't think
was
it's
that
movie.
Lonely Island or was that Pop Star?
I'm pretty
Look
sure it's
legalized
Pop Star.
Crack. They'll definitely find it.
No, hold
yeah,
on.
Now we're Oregon, everyone.
Yeah, we actually moved our podcast over to Oregon so we can do hard drugs every episode of the show.
Shout out to Oregon, by the way.
Hey, it's decriminalized, not illegal.
If you know, follow suit.
Yes, that's what decriminalized means, Tyler.
You
said decriminalized, not illegal.
It's also like
decriminalized means not.
It's not like completely illegal.
It's
less than a gram.
Yeah, it's not like they're like freely selling it on like in stores.
Okay, it's just possession is legal.
Officer, 20 shrooms.
It's so that they can go to rehab and not prison.
Okay. Yeah, it is from Popstar. Great, yeah. I don't remember if it was in the movie though. It could have just been on.
This is a cut.
It was a deleted scene.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember that. And then, all right, I never saw that one.
But literally, he makes it sound like he started like smoking. Like talking about weed in the beginning.
Okay, it pivots to crack.
And then it's like,
if it was the crack.
My good man, tell me, what was that? He said, my friend, you just smoke crack.
Oh, yes. Wait, the verses are coming back to me. It's all coming back.
Bobby's got bars he's going to spit.
Can I play it?
Probably.
Sure.
DMCA? Yes.
I don't know. What are they going to do?
DMCA?
Sue us?
Yes, they can.
Yes.
We'll play it real quick.
Just play it.
Oh, it even starts like right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it definitely sounds like that.
Lotto? Oh, my God. No.
It feels...
It sounds like Sublime.
Like what?
Sublime, the band.
Yeah.
I was going to say it sounded like anything regular. But...
That's regular. Well, like, it, whatever.
Why does this remind me of Gwen Stefani?
Because this is not ska.
Ska came before reggae.
Yeah, I feel like this movie and this is Spinal Tap connect a lot more. Like, yeah. it's just pop stars who, like, just like, it's just like the exaggerated stereotypes of pop stars, right?
Yeah, it is.
And this is a pop star versus like a rock and roll band. So instead of like three or four people, it's kind of like one guy and his crew.
Yeah.
It's waiting for that
line. Yeah.
No, you're right. It is like, it's like basically like
an updated version.
Yeah, it's like an updated version of Spinal Tap.
More modern.
And with a lot more cameos.
I also loved how they just added a bunch of songs in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just like it being like a mockumentary, it's a mockumentary with a bunch of songs. I mean, they did the same thing with this is Spinal Tap.
Just like Spinal Tap, the band, like, they made their own music.
But I had no idea what the fuck they were saying half the time.
Yeah, it was just, it was nonsense.
Like, yeah. But that was one song I remember they kept playing, but all the other like songs were just like, don't smell the fucking glove.
The one bit in Spinal Tap where he's playing the piano and it's like an amazing, like a beautiful song, and he's like, oh, what is this about? And I forgot what he actually said, but it's like, oh, this is about fucking my wife or something. Like, they made this and it's...
Oh, yeah, wait, no, I think I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, in Popstar, it's just like he was so upset that his, like, turtle died. You know, he didn't have anybody.
This one had more of an actual story to it, just because you're following O'Connor's around, or Sandberg. You're following Sandberg around. Sandberg always just plays himself in everything he's ever been in.
It's literally just Andy Sandberg.
Yeah, it's always playing Andy Sandberg. But you're following him around, so you're seeing, like, he gets depressed, he loses everything, his manager kind of leaves him for this other guy, his turtle dies, he couldn't remember who gave it to him.
Yeah, it's because his album that was supposed to be, they say it's the most hyped album of all time, and then it comes out and it's terrible.
It just flopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like his own hubris. Like, he thought anything he touched turned to gold.
Yeah.
So he thought he could actually release...
Midas complex.
He thought he could just release actual shit.
Yeah, and it'd be good.
It'd be good.
Like, no matter what he put out, people would like it.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, he wasn't wrong, because remember, he fed people literal shit.
True.
Yeah,
he did the test your friends.
That's the argument, right? With like regular, like with like rock songs, or like not rock songs, but like pop star songs nowadays. You know, like most songs, there's no
substance.
Yeah, it's just like a beat with like just being like either like the meaning, drugs, money, sex. Yeah,
they all follow the same formula.
Yeah,
of like the same beat, just like a female singer, kind of sound the same.
Yeah,
every song kind of sounds the same.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I feel that way about like regular radio music.
Yeah, like radio hits are all like follow the same template.
Yeah, for the most part.
Although I find that kind of funny that like that's the case, right? Like all radio music all follows the same template, but then like Lonely Island is famous for working with like Adam Levine on a lot of songs, and you could probably make the argument that a lot of his music follows the same template.
Yeah, the most of the people that work with them have a sense of humor, and that's why that leads into the bunch of cameos in this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of cameos in this one. I think it's really fun.
A lot. Like everybody's in this movie.
Chris, name one.
So I know what he's going for here. When I was watching the movie, I said, "Huh, it feels weird having a scene with this person in it, right?"
And what person? Like, what's the name?
What was the actual name of the person?
50 Cent.
Going to say 50 Cent again.
Who did you think it was?
I thought that was R. Kelly.
Oh God! You thought 50? They don't even look alike. they literally don't even look alike.
What are you trying to say there, Chris?
That I forgot what. No, it wasn't that it was the looks that I confused me. I literally mixed up the names 50 Cent with R. Kelly.
Like, how?
I don't know why. Like 50
once,
Cent. No. Let me.
Once say, two quarters.
50 Cent, R. Kelly, and Soulja Boy. Those names, they just they cross and they call they bob and weave constantly.
Bob and weave.
In your head, and
see,
nowhere
Chris
else.
With it because Chris doesn't even remember the names of his best friends. So how do you expect him to remember the names?
I can't remember the names of one criminal. No, Soulja Boy, I think was doing a scam where he was like buying Chinese consoles and reselling them on like the market.
Yeah,
like,
do you tell me these people look like? Shot.
I'm not telling you.
He got
you
shut
that.
Down.
I'm not telling you that at all, Tyler. Faison.
See, doesn't even know the name. Not
telling you that. At all. What's my name?
Yeah, there it is.
He had to do was say Borat. That's all he had to do.
All he had to do was say Fabio. You know, the kid I've known name. For like.
Ever?
Know, 15 years? Like 10 years?
Long time.
I love you long time.
So,
yes, I just want to make sure I was right about another one. Okay, A$AP Rocky is in this movie as well. Is he the one who it turned out was British and here on an illegal visa?
That was 21 Savage.
Okay, so clearly
A$AP Rocky was the one.
A$AP Rocky's sister went to our high school, Chris.
Yeah, he showed up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he lived in the town next to us.
Oh man, but he was not a fucking Brit. The one that was
I don't know, man. Their names, they all blur together.
Chris has all this information, but none of it's connecting.
Nothing connecting.
It's all just there. But it's just
like someone was a Brit. Someone went to Elmwood Park.
A$AP Rocky. But yeah, no, in Palm Star, like, there's no real, like, crazy, like happenings. Like, there's no, like layers that's, like, going on. No. It's just kind
of
like...
Well, what do you mean? The bees are huge and start attacking people. You don't remember
that?
Yeah,
the bees.
Well, what about the fucking wolf that he hires?
Seal.
Like, I think Seal was the peak of the movie.
Oh, Seal was the best part of the film. The fact that they got Seal... And he didn't start singing Careless Whisper, Kissed by a Rose.
Yeah.
He didn't start singing Kissed by a Rose is almost a shame.
That seems so funny, just because he goes, as they're being attacked by wolves, he beats one wolf, and he's like, oh yeah, how do you think I got these scars? Wolves? Fucking wolves. And then proceeds to get attacked again.
Yeah, he beats the wolf because he has experience fighting another wolf.
And then he
yeah.
marries his fiance. He marries O'Connor's fiance.
Yep.
Holy shit. I mean... Seal kind of looks like a fucking badass. I don't know how he got those scars in real life.
I don't know either, so.
Our search guy has just stood up and walked away somewhere.
What do we pay him for, bro?
Pay him?
Do we pay anybody? it's a result of a lupus. It's
medical. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought maybe it might have been like something from the military. Wolves.
Actually wolves? It should have been wolves. They should have photoshopped something to say wolves.
But besides...
He should have...
Besides all the pop,
actually gotten scars from wolves.
Pop stars and like musicians in the movie, you have other cameos. Like you have like producers like Danger Mouse, Questlove. You have
everyone from SNL.
The majority of SNL stars, Will Arnett, Eric Andre, and Chelsea Peretti are like TMZ parodies, and they're just going crazy
the
every
TMZ
time.
The TMZ parodies were fucking so ridiculous. Holy shit. Like, that was just
fucking hilarious.
It just was so, it felt like just little Eric Andre bits. Like, it was just so
awful. Because they kept laughing.
They just didn't stop laughing. And then sometimes crying. It was just so,
Who else is here? Emma Stone is in it for half a second.
Bill Hader. I feel like always deserves a quick
Bill Hader.
Also,
Bill
he's
Hader.
Doing Flatliners, the movie, I think from the 90s. He's just living the movie Flatliners.
And the doctor who's trying not to like let him die as he's flatlining is Andy Samberg's wife, who is a famous musician as well.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, her music does not... Anytime I think that Andy Samberg's married to Joanna Newsom, it doesn't make sense because her music is not at all what you think for Andy Samberg.
Okay, that's got to be interesting.
I can play it right now.
Yeah, fuck it. I've never heard of this person before in my life.
Yeah, let me see.
God, yeah, no, I mean, I like how much... It's fun how much SNL talent there was in there. There's also... Yeah. Oh, God, what's her name? She...
Maya Rudolph?
Yes, actually, yeah, that's impressive that you...
All right, Tyler.
I gave you nothing just to work off of.
Yep.
I was going to go for, like, the one in The Good Place, but... Impressive that you got that. Yeah, Maya Rudolph was in here. She's great.
Her short scene at the beginning when she's opening the fridge.
Yeah.
And then the guy is like, oh, all my... And then like he says like, oh, my friend's here. It's like, yeah, my N-words. It's like, oh, wow, hard R?
Hard R. That was a...
Yeah, it definitely caught me. It took me a second.
Caught me off guard.
Yeah. But yeah, here's Andy Samberg's wife, Joanna Newsom. If it plays. Oh, there it goes.
This wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, no, it's not what anybody expects. The fact that she's married to Andy Samberg always amazes me.
It's calming, though. I could sit on a porch in the sunset listening to this.
Yeah.
Why am I in a music video right now?
Right? Like, I'm just looking out the window with a cup of coffee. And
it's raining. It's black and white.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. This is like...
This is nice.
I can't tell if it's depressing or cathartic.
Oh, read the lyrics. It's depressing.
I like this.
I like it. No, I actually do want to put that on at some point. That is nice.
Yeah. No, she's a harpist and she gets critically acclaimed.
Oh, she's a harpist.
She's a harpy?
Yeah. Yes, she's a harpist.
Does she know barefoot?
Yes, her harp playing brings him near.
Full circle. Holy shit.
Oh man.
But yeah, she's in it. Who else? Ringo's in it for half a second. And I think that's.
Yeah, he's in there. I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, he's just in it, and I think that when they're talking about the Beatles or they reference the Beatles, and he says something, that's why he's in it.
I think that's pretty much it. I like how Mariah Carey's in it, and she's just like, "I'm the most humble person I've ever met."
That's great. Justin Timberlake is in it as the chef.
As the chef.
And when he's singing, he's like, "Yo, shut the fuck up! You're singing terrible." Yes, sir.
Imagine asking those like actors or like famous people, just be like, "Hey, you want to be in a movie where we make fun of famous people?" And like, sure. And like, sure, I'll do a cameo. Yeah. You know, I feel like it's kind of necessary, right? Like, if you're gonna have like someone like this, you kind of need to show like real world perspective at the same time, because like we're seeing like the fictional work of like of Connor for real. But at the same time, we're like comparing him to the InWorks characters that are like in the show, that who are like aren't there like in real world characters, but like we know other real world characters, so like it's kind of like that weird mix of the two.
Yeah, I mean, that's what sells it as a mockumentary. Like it helps make like break that divide between this is a movie and this is a documentary. It helps break that, like, build that suspension of disbelief that you can almost be like, oh, maybe this, you know, this is a real thing for a second there, because look, Usher's talking about it, and this guy's talking about it, and this chick's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It really is impressive to me they got that many people in on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
And like pretty big names, like very big names, actually.
I mean, I guess they had already built that up, because like Lonely Island had like Adam Levine, Justin Timberlake, Lady Gaga.
But there are some on this list where I never thought would accept like a role like that.
Like
Mariah Carey.
Oh yeah, because she is not humble.
Yeah,
aren't like all of their roles like kind of like minimal too? Like they don't really have.
Yeah, they are. Like, but like I feel like some of these, like especially Mariah Carey, wouldn't want to be in like a documentary mocking herself. Pop stars and herself. Basically,
yeah, she was the joke in that one. So.
Yeah.
What if they just like pulled the Borat and just didn't tell anyone like what was actually going on?
It might be that. I feel like some of these people didn't know what they were signing up for.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like at some point it's like, come on, we got these people in on it. You don't want to be the only odd man out.
Yeah.
It's like, at the same time, they're still getting those other people. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we got Mariah Carey on it. You don't want
to
be
once you have, like, any Sandberg or, like, any, like, director or producer who has, like, friends, it's kind of, like, easy to get people in, and then you kind of start flexing, like, oh, yeah, we have this whole list of people who want to, you know, be on.
He basically just got everyone he's ever worked with on Lonely Island, and then, like, a couple more, and then at that point, it's, like, big enough pool to just grab whatever fish you want.
Because at that point, it's like, you have everybody.
Yeah, it's like, because you don't want to be the one out of it.
Yeah. It's not like this. It's not like, oh, this is a hard shoot. It's like, no, we're basically fucking around.
Listen,
yeah.
Mariah, we're gonna insult you either way, but we'd rather have you in on it.
All right, hear me out. Hot take: pop star equals endgame. Everyone shows up.
Yes.
Chris is
crushed his soul.
he's walking.
Yeah, he's
away.
Gone.
He's walking away.
Chris is done.
I can see where he comes from.
Right? It makes sense. Oh, God. He's leaving. He's
how far out the door is he?
He's walking out.
He didn't put his shoes on.
Chris is gone.
He forgot he had shoes.
Yeah.
So while he's gone, what?
Don't open the door.
So while he's gone.
It locks. Does it actually lock?
Yeah, it locks. We're too late. Damn it.
Is it raining?
A little drizzle. I was going to lock you out.
I mean, you gave us the opportunity.
Can't trust you people.
And then
you know
he comes to the window, and Tyler's like, "Oh, is it Borat?"
It's just a little out there. It was a bit too far for the bet.
So, all right. So we know. I mean, what we say? Everyone's favorite song from this was what, Biden. I mean, not Biden. Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Biden.
Finest Girl is the song name.
Wait.
Finest Girl is Bin Laden.
Yeah.
That's the actual song name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Wait,
I just
your
reflected.
Favorite song was Biden. I really want to know just more about this.
Well,
I'm not letting you get through this one.
Well, Biden, yeah, you know, he came out in this. When did this movie come out? 2014?
2016.
So this was.
He was not vice president anymore, probably. Wait, early 2016? No, either way, he still would have been vice president.
No, October. Yeah. No, June.
So they got the vice president.
Right
now,
it came out.
Yeah, in June.
May 24th, 2016.
Yeah, so.
So yeah, he was still a bit. So maybe it was like the goodbye. It was a goodbye song. It was like, yo, I wanted to fuck Biden, Joe Biden.
You heard it here, folks. First, folks, Tyler wants to fuck Joe Biden.
What? No, I said the song.
I don't know. I heard Tyler.
That's what I heard too.
You're just like Amy Poehler in Parks and Rec now, Tyler.
Yeah, that episode actually
aged
does age
pretty
well.
Yeah, that one aged pretty great.
So speaking of music, what besides the music in this one, what would you guys say is the best Lonely Island song?
Oh, hold on. I got to look up the Lonely Island songs.
I mean, I think YOLO. It holds a very special place in my heart. And it's also really good.
I think the Pirate song.
Michael Bolin?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude,
this
is
the
tale. I love that at the end of the movie when they're
Michael
doing
they got
last
Michael
song. Michael Bolin's on stage with the piano.
Oh, that last song is great, too.
That last song is great. My favorite song, probably, I think it's Mother Lover.
I was going to say, it has to be, for me, it has to be one of those
Mother
three.
Lover or Dick in a Box.
Wait, yeah. It's not gay if it's in a three-way.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, that's a trilogy. Yeah. One of those three. It's
Dick
hard
in a
to pick
Box
one.
Is probably my favorite one.
I think I still have to give it to Yella. But they're just all so good.
Yeah.
They're all really good.
Yeah, everything
Island,
holds up.
Lonely Island is like the pinnacle of like comedy humor. Because not comedy humor, musical comedy.
Have you listened to Natalie Portman rapping?
Oh, God, yeah.
No.
Have you not seen that one?
Apparently not.
It's hard.
Do I play it?
It's hard.
I mean, I guess so. Again,
it's actually really good.
This is just a clip show now.
I mean,
we're here today with film star Natalie Portman. Now, Natalie, the last time you were here, I heard things.
I hope people can hear this. Otherwise,
it's a good question, right?
Hey, we can edit it in.
We're not gonna.
We
edit
have
it
we
in.
Have the so, we have the technology.
We have the technology. Smash computer. Yes,
wait, this is fire.
In.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, this is I'm not bumping. As bad as I expected it to be. But it's...
What? She's an Academy Award winning
actress. Wait, what did she just say?
Put a dildo on a switchblade.
Yeah.
Okay, the burrito lost me. I'm sorry, the burrito lost me. It was fire up until the burrito.
that's what makes it. This is...
It's good.
This is interesting, that's for sure.
It's not something I'd ever expect Natalie Portman to do.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't picture her in this.
I think she did it at the Black Swan too. Or it was
wow, so she does. She goes and she gives like one of her best performances of
but
all time.
But doesn't this kind of show like that? Like anyone can kind of like be like a rapper if you follow like a certain dialogue, yeah. Like a certain beat, you know?
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Like, the
Andy
way the
wrote
editing
it.
Goes, the way she's like saying things, it's kind of like it sounds good, but she's yeah. This isn't what she does for a living. You know?
No, I'm sure like Andy probably is like, hey, here's the lines. I'll help you like deliver it. Yeah,
I saw
yeah.
That. This is her water.
Like obviously as an actress, she can probably like, oh, just tell me what to do and I can do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even like that hard, but like with just like, a little bit of like,
phase I mean, just production just and like knowledge. Decent lyrics. It doesn't have to be decent lyrics; just a good flow. You can make music.
Yeah, look at Nicki Minaj. Like, personally, I'm not a fan of hers, but she like she has some bangers.
Uses it.
Most.
Oh God, that
the biggest insult we've had on this podcast.
And stands are coming
right now. You just offended the larger group of people.
That's fine.
Listen,
if it's my opinion, she has some bangers, but most of her music is just like mediocre.
I'm gonna get banned on Twitter when I post this episode, aren't I?
If you're angry about it. Please only hunt down Fabio.
You can hunt me down. I don't care. That's
don't
fine.
At Fabio Sadiku.
Cardi B's better. At me.
Oh, God.
And canceled.
You know, Fabio, I'm going to join you in solidarity. I don't care for either of them.
I'm going to take them all of them.
Fabio, what? I like Cardi B. I don't really like Nicki Minaj. Chris, yeah, fuck both of them.
And I still have the hotter take.
They're used to it by now. Every week I choose something to die on.
Bro, every oh my god. And it's that one episode where Chris is like three hills he was dying on.
I don't think any of them worked out. Yeah, any
last
of them
week
out.
I picked a fair amount of hills to die on.
Alright.
Good hills. But on the note of hills.
Why is the window open? Oh god damn it.
Nice to meet you. It's me.
Hello,
I'm Borat.
He finally got his cue.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
The trigger word was hills.
Speaking of a star, a pop star, I was a star in Kazakhstan following my first movie film. Borat Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Great success. We released movie film a couple weeks ago called Borat's subsequent movie film, Make Me Famous Again, yes. Delivery of prodigious prodigious bribe to American regime. I can't even say it with the street face.
People now realize why we brought him on.
Yeah.
For Make Benefit Once Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Great success. Amazon Prime.
Oh, that was good, man. That was good.
Borat, I have something I need to inform
video.
You about Borat.
Yes, what is it?
Do you realize that the person you're sitting next to is Jewish?
They did inform me that the Holocaust did happen. But a very nice Jewish lady told me. So now I now have a reconciliation with the Jews.
See, that's very nice.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. This is gross.
Very, very.
This is a character. Wow.
Yes. After, you know, first Borat, maybe a little bit hate.
just a little hate, I said.
And then after I went to the, what is it?
Synagogue.
The synagogue with my cloak and my puppet master attire. They took me in as one of their own, and they assimilate me.
Oh boy!
Well, yeah. If you didn't get it from that, we're talking about Borat.
Yeah. Let's start with Borat 1, the groundbreaking movie from
2006.
24, that's what I said, yes. 24?
Yes, the 2000-year-old. 4 years? Yeah.
No, just 24.
2,000-year-old movie?
Yeah, 2,000.
Yeah, yeah, 2,000 years old.
Yes, the original Borat. Do you want to give us a quick synopsis on that
topic? Yeah. So Borat 1 was released in 2006. It's pretty much an exaggerated immigrant coming from a quote-unquote third world country, Kazakhstan, to learn like American culture and bring it back to his country. But at the same time of him being here and trying to learn the culture, the side story is that he finds Pamela Anderson, a.k.a. CJ from Baywatch, and now he travels the U.S. While making interviews with people to go and find her and make a bride.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great summary of it.
This is probably the like biggest mockumentary, the one that pushed mockumentary.
This is the biggest mockumentary,
like,
period.
Yeah, this is the biggest mockumentary.
Yeah, I think by far. Like, there's not, I don't think any movie has had like that much of an impact. Like, in terms of like mockumentaries, like that you, like when you realize that it's a mockumentary, I don't think any movie really had that hit as hard as this one, I guess, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, even before the second movie came out, people were still quoting.
Yeah, very nice.
This movie's been quoted for since it came out.
Yeah, yeah.
14
years? Decade and a half.
14
yeah.
years ago.
Jesus Christ.
And it's, I mean, like, impressive. I didn't see the movie until a few weeks ago because my friends and everybody, like you guys, my other friends.
I hadn't seen the movie till we all saw it together.
That's such cap. You and me watched it like 2 years ago.
You're right. I watched it years ago, but I've never quoted it.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's bullshit. You guys have not just seen the movie first.
We watched
like
it
in
bits, Chris.
Yeah, we never had the chance to finish the whole thing. Yeah, but he's right.
Okay, anyway, people quoted it, and it's not just one quote. It's not just, like, very nice. It's not just one or two things. It's a whole list of things they would quote, and I would, like, see clips online. It's like, all right, I basically know the movie, and then I actually saw it 2 weeks ago, and yeah, it still pays off.
Mm-hmm. It holds up.
I've said it before, Tyler. You have weird reasons for not watching movies.
Well, I mean, if I knew the whole plot of a movie, why would I watch it? Well, that's just because it shouldn't have won. So.
Les Miserables.
That, I just don't like it, so.
You haven't seen it. You can't say either. The Resident Evil franchise.
Aw, bad.
You don't know that.
It is. I've watched one movie. It's bad.
I've watched a sixth of this thing. Thus, I can say the entirety of this thing.
Okay, but
bad.
Tyler's trusting my opinion on
that. Yeah, I'm also trusting that, too.
I don't trust either of you right now.
Chris, you purposely want to watch
you
bad
movies. You
don't
trust them because they're a gypsy, yes?
Yes.
How'd you know?
I saw your book of spells. Actually, bro, I was going to pull up the 1966 magazine. Yeah, no, I'm just going to say it now. I've watched Borat 12 times. I love this movie. It's absolutely fantastic. The reason I love it so much is because it's the cultural similarities between Kazakhstan and my country of Albania are very similar.
Yeah.
Like, when I show my mom this video, she's like, are you sure this wasn't shot in Albania? Yeah. Because the village is the exact same.
Yeah, it looks like the exact same.
Yeah,
right?
Kids had AKs. You know, it was spitting image of Albania. Spitting image. Yeah. And I just love this movie a lot because he comes to America, and he just fucks with people.
Yeah.
And he's, like, the super awkward immigrant, and people just don't know how to, like, respond to this, you know? Like,
they just think that he's all, like... new culture, like, it's whatever. He says whatever. Mm-hmm. Understandable.
Yeah, they have, like, that language barrier awkwardness. Yeah. You know, like, they don't know what he's saying, so they're like, haha, and they're just kind of agreeing with him.
Yeah.
But he knows that, and he spins it so well. Like, Sacha Baron Cohen is so good at, like, putting himself in the character, where he kind of, like, can, like, milk the conversation and get, like, the awkwardness out of it. Like, the most genuine person out of somebody.
I mean, like, I gotta say, like, I like both Borat 1 and Borat 2, but they somehow are not even the best thing that Sacha Baron Cohen has ever done, because he did Who is America, and that shit is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like,
that's his best content I think I've seen him do, period. It's so fucking good. I think I've seen it almost twice at this point, because I keep showing more episodes to people.
It's so good.
It's so fucking
good. My one problem with when people say, like, oh, Borat 2 is too political, I'm over here saying, like, that's the point.
That's the whole point.
If you watched, like, he released it a week before Election Day.
Yeah, like, for a reason.
For a reason, bro. Like as soon as, like, Corona, like kind of died down a little bit and he could, like, produce again and direct, like, they were on it.
Yeah.
And,
Or the opposite is that during the movie, he gets screwed because Corona did happen. He's like, oh, shit, can I stay with you guys? And, like, sure. And then you have a whole 5-day period where he's in character with two random people.
Yeah.
And he gets, like, super drunk and almost breaks character.
Yeah.
Oh, the best story I heard of Sacha Baron Cohen is that, I forgot if it was for Who is America or some other movie or whatever, is that he was in character as somebody. He's playing along. He got too drunk. He goes to the bathroom, and then the camera crew follows him. He's like, "Shit, are you good?" Because he passed out in the bathroom. He's like, "Good God, you good, you good." And he wakes up in character.
Yeah, he wakes
like,
up in character.
Ready.
Passed out. Wakes
that's
up in
amazing.
Character.
The dedication. I love that, bro.
It's so good.
Waking up as Sacha Baron Cohen, just still being Borat.
I mean, I can't imagine keeping character as Borat for as long as he did, especially in the first movie, where it's just like, you know, even when he goes to like the where he's staying at the, like that bed and breakfast.
Yeah,
and then he finds out it's two Jewish women that run it.
And he's like, just throwing money
at
them.
He's throwing money at them. How do you stay in character?
They cleverly shifted their ships. But yeah, like I feel like you need to watch Who is America?
Yeah.
Before you watch Borat 2, because like that political, like oh, it's too political. I don't like it. Because like Borat 1 was just like him going after CJ and just like being stupid.
Yeah, it is. It's basically that. It's just like it's like a popcorn dumb movie. Mm-hmm. There's no real meaning behind it or anything of real depth. But once you watch Who is America, you kind of get to appreciate Borat 2 a lot more, just because you can see kind of like the lead up into this change that Sacha Baron Cohen has been doing. And yeah, I also think it's an incredibly stupid fucking argument where like, it's too political. It's like, well, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. You should feel bad for having that opinion. Yeah. It's really stupid.
Oh, you're telling me it's too political? The man who fucks with politicians?
Yeah.
The president of the United States, the ex-mayor of New York City, who's now the lawyer to the president of the United States, as well as a vice president. Like, for people who don't know Who's America, like Sacha Baron Cohen pretty much has like four or five other personas where he sits down with like congressmen, congresswomen, legislators, just the representatives, or like just redneck Americans.
Yeah.
And he just like embarrasses the shit out of them by making them do stupid things and
like,
say stupid things.
Like where he got
things.
That one politician to pull his pants down and chase him.
Mm-hmm.
And yell the N-word.
He got the N-word, he's not the governor of Georgia. He was like one of the legislators. I think he's in the Senate. The House of Representatives.
Oh, is this the guns for kids?
No, it's nothing. It wasn't kindergarten.
Yeah. Oh God.
But he pretty much like he got that House of Representative man fired because he made him like pull down his pants.
Yeah.
Like say the N-word on TV and just be like super racist and like homophobic.
God, you remember the quinceañera plot where they were gonna host the face quinceañera to get quote unquote Mexican pedophiles, and he convinced these guys.
And the police show up.
The police show up, and they take them away.
Why do you guys have lube and condoms? Why is there a man in a piñata recording this?
It's
Rue.
It was.
Yeah, and then the end of the show is pretty much him sitting down with like just senators or congressmen and saying like, "I have a kindergartens program where we're gonna like arm kindergartners with guns."
Yeah,
because the only thing better with a bad kid with a gun
is a good kid
with a gun. Yes. In my country, we call it the kindergartens.
Oh my God!
And he got multiple senators to like agree on video that this is a good idea. Was it Dick Cheney? Was it the guy he's?
He got Dick Cheney to sign a water bottle.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't the water bottle. It was a torment device. It was
the waterboarding.
Waterboarding. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it makes sense, right? It's Dick Cheney.
Yeah, but Borat 2 was great because he. Like at the beginning, you think the ending's gonna be him fucking with Michael Pence when he goes, Michael Pinas, I have the girl. And instead, he's just fucking with Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah. Michael Pence got top billing, but actually, Rudy Giuliani was the star of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I remember when it was released, everyone talking about Rudy Giuliani on Twitter, and I'm like, what happened with Rudy? He's like trending.
Yeah.
And they're like, damn, bro, who lays back on their back to tuck in their shirt? Let me know.
that was such a good marketing because, in motion, it doesn't feel like. It doesn't feel like as bad as just the still image. Like the still image alone looks so fucking incriminating. And it's like, let's just release this online and just.
She is 15.
Before we get into Borat 2, do you guys want to talk about some of your favorite scenes from the first one?
That's fair. It is easy to kind of bulldoze it to for the second one.
All my favorite scenes are politically incorrect, so I will plead the fifth.
Okay.
I mean that's the point of the movie.
Which one it is. Well,
they're all so bad.
God, what is my favorite scene in Borat?
I mean, mine from the first one is the naked fight through the hotel.
I was going to say the frat boys.
Oh God, those guys!
Frat Boys is great. I loved when he was buying the car. Where I install the pussy magnet? If I pay you enough, can you install a pussy magnet into this car? How fast would I have to go to make sure I kill a group of gypsies? I'm telling you, this bad boy, maybe 35, 40 miles an hour.
Every random person, when he goes up to buy something, just goes along with it is ridiculous. Yeah. Like that instance, like how fast do I have to go to kill people? It's like, oh, about that, you'll be fine. And then another person's like, it's in Borat 2 when he goes to the cake shop and he's like, can you just write this message on the cake? And then she just does it, no questions asked.
Yeah, no questions asked.
What was it? Like,
oh my God.
Something about Jewish people again.
Yeah, it was something fucked up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the woman's like, oh, no problem. It's like, I got questions for you now.
It's impressive how he can convince people to do pretty much all this stuff. Like, he just asks.
What was your favorite scene in Borat 1, Chris?
My favorite scene has to be still the frat boy scene, mm-hmm. where he goes onto this RV with a bunch of spring break frat boys, and they sue him afterwards, which is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they're all such pieces of shit, but they all seemingly genuinely care when he got sad about
Borat. Yeah.
Like the duality of man in a scene. It's
bro,
fucking great.
They were racist, sexist.
Yeah, they were awful.
It was
awful. They cared about him. They cared about this vague immigrant man who was in love with CJ from
Baywatch.
I think my favorite scene had to be the Pamela Anderson one, where they, like, kidnap her.
Oh, yeah.
But only because finding out that they shot it twice. And the first time, they didn't get enough of a reaction from the crowd, so they shot it again.
Yeah.
Really?
Her fans didn't care that much at first. And then the second time, they fought back.
That's crazy.
I love it. Like, they're just, imagine you're getting kidnapped, and people are just standing there. Just looking at you,
dumbfounded. What?
That's why it makes it one of my favorite scenes out of the movie.
Okay, just because of that context.
Yeah, just because of the context for it.
Oh, that's crazy.
What's yours, Fabio?
Well, there's literally, dude, so many. So there's it's like when he's at the hotel and the guy comes in, like, sir, there's a telegram for you. can you read? your wife Oksana was walking your brother Bilo.
Brother Bilo.
When she got attacked and violated by a bear, he violated and he break her. You mean my wife? She a dead? Yes, sir. That's unfortunately what's happening.
High five.
I like how you can really tell Fabio seen this movie 12 times because he had the down to a fact.
I have the whole movie.
Whenever he gets bored, you close your eyes and you just watch it in your head.
Oh yeah, dude.
Play the whole movie again.
What John Mulaney says, we have movie theaters up here, bro. We literally have movie theaters up here. You can imagine anything you want. Nothing's stopping you. Yeah. Oh God, what else?
I think so many like the first movie gets overshadowed now by the second one in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think about like best stuff from Borat, and I think about like a lot of Borat 2 stuff over Borat 1. Like I think about the dance scene in Borat 2, or I think about the breastplant place, the implants, or the ending. Mm-hmm. You know, like all that shit just completely has overpowered Borat 1.
I do feel like Borat 2 was better.
Yeah, I agree with that statement.
I mean, yeah, I liked Borat 2. I mean, I like Borat 2 better just because, no, not just because, it's because it's harder for me to like Borat because I've heard so much about it and then I watched it. So I came in and it's like, oh, okay. It wasn't like, this is hilarious. It's like, oh, okay, now I've seen it. It wasn't like a big reaction at the time because I knew the majority of it.
That's fair.
That's fair.
That's just like checking off something on a list.
Yeah.
And on that note, I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent. I have to have Fabio settle a bit of a debate here. Fabio, have you seen The Social Network?
What do you mean a network?
Not Borat.
I haven't seen.
Yes. Oh, fuck you, Tyler. Fuck you. Okay.
Time out. Wait.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
The Social Network.
Yeah. But why now?
Oh well, he made you. Well, you said checking movies off a list.
Yeah.
Which is how I felt about The Social Network and why I've never gotten around to watching it. And for a week and a half, these two have been hammering.
Okay.
No.
It was
one
like 30
moment.
Minutes.
It was one moment. Out.
Multiple days. No, Tyler did it a couple
okay,
other times
don't,
before.
Don't lump me in with Tyler then.
You're right.
Tyler has
twice.
Done this at least three times.
Twice.
Three.
When's the third now?
Okay. No, we did it when we were watching. I'm not going into the details of this, Tyler. All right. I'm not going into the details of this. But
your narrative, Chris. All right.
Listen, they've been yelling at me for not watching The Social Network for an amount of time. And they're like, Chris, everyone has watched The Social Network. How have you not watched The Social Network? And I brought
but
up the
you're
point.
Asking the wrong person.
Yeah, I was about
Fabio
to say,
watch
you
anything.
Watch movies.
Fabio barely watches movies.
I dabble.
He dabbles.
Barely.
I think
I started dabbling.
Exactly.
I started dabbling.
What was the last movie you watched before these two today?
Not Borat either.
Before Borat.
Because no,
that
no,
was probably
not before
the last
Borat.
One.
It could be between Borat and this. If you
no,
watch
there is
something.
No.
That's
no,
how we know.
Yeah, hey, we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out.
All the movies I kind of watch with you guys.
Yeah. So
okay, but like the thing is, like, I don't really like take time out of my day to sit down and watch
that's
movies.
What I'm saying.
Like
that's
I
saying.
Want to, but like I'm always on my computer just watching Twitch streams.
I'm just throwing this at Chris because Chris is trying to use you
as a scapegoat,
as the benchmark
for his argument.
I mean, understandably,
watching The Social Network. If you ask like anybody else, they've probably watched it.
I can find. Okay. I'll find more people.
I'm gonna love this.
Every time we get a guest on this podcast, I'm gonna ask them if they've seen The Social Network. And somebody who watches
every
movies
time
is
we get a guest,
no.
I'm just gonna text them like 2 days before. Hey, can you watch
hey,
Social
hey,
Network?
Hey, watch this movie.
I hate you so much.
Wait, Tom. I want to just say I like how you're using that argument of the hype for something and then not watching it.
Yes.
And that's like the opposite for me with King's Speech, with the anti-hype against it. And that's why I don't.
Well, I was
watch
talking
it.
With this case about Borat, Tyler. I just think you have weird reasons for not watching movies in general.
That's three movies you listed.
That's three whole movies.
Yeah, and there's billions of movies.
Okay, yes, but you're holding one movie against me, Tyler.
All right, let's save this for later.
We've been arguing this for several times.
Let's move on.
All right, speaking of The Social Network, some people in Trauma Network can't be social because they're in jail. That was one of my favorite things in Borat 2 was when he was in the car with his daughter. He was like, who are we going to like give you to now?
Goes to a list.
He was pulling out like people like from Trump's campaign. And he was like, Paul Manafort, like, oh, in jail. This person, oh, in jail. This person, oh, exonerated. I'll fucking know. Like, all these things. Like, everyone's just like in jail or like on trial for something. And I was like, what about Rudy Giuliani? And then the Himes start playing for Borat again. And he's like, oh, yes, no, this is the play. And then he fucks with Rudy Giuliani in that legendary scene.
This movie was surprisingly wholesome.
The relationship between Borat and his, what's his daughter's name?
Tutar,
yeah. Like, that relationship that goes on throughout the whole movie between first him just, like, wanting to get rid of her.
He's like, I have a son who's a girl.
And then, like,
she's in the cage.
Yeah. First of all, her acting's amazing in the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she got signed with something recently, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some, like, acting.
But yeah, so, like, she's going to be doing
Sacha stuff. Sacha Baron Cohen, like, handpicked her.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he said that, like, obviously he had to try out so many people just to see, and what he looked for is someone who would actually... like work well with him, but also not break.
Yeah, I think they literally tested it with just random people.
Yeah,
and they like tried staying like stayed in character for like set amount of hours.
Yeah, and
set
she did
hours.
It
wow, that's just.
I loved her though because she was kind of like a representation of Melania Trump. Like
yeah.
I just
reminded. She had the TV
the
and
cartoon.
It was,
the
cartoon, the Golden Cage.
The fact that you literally just
I walked up
her
to her
pussy
oh my
in the
God.
Cartoon.
And you grabbed her by the pussy in the cartoon.
And continued to dance like that. Yeah. I wasn't moving.
And then, I was not ready for that.
I think that was like right at the beginning.
Yeah, that was in the beginning, and it was great.
I do like how the premise of this movie was not originally him like selling his daughter. So at first, he was supposed to bring Kazakhstan's greatest porn star.
Johnny the Monkey
over to America instead. Unfortunately, Tutar
who's
ate
also,
Johnny
by
the
way,
monkey.
An actual monkey.
Yeah.
It would be a lot worse if he wasn't.
Is he also a porn star?
He's also a porn star and a child star. A child, like, oh.
Careful. Yeah, careful.
Yeah, I stopped myself there.
Get those words.
Right. I don't know how to word this now without it sounding weird after porn star.
Go on.
Anthony, edit this part out, please. Anthony, I'm talking to Anthony.
You know, we're just going to move on from that one. I don't know how to word it in my head right now, so I'm not going to
do it. You're just not going to handle that. And then Tutar ate him. So
yep.
That's why he had to sell his daughter instead. I mean,
And then it changed again with coronavirus.
Well, we'll get to that. I mean, it's just,
we'll get to that.
This movie, I think, is even more impressive than the first in how much it fucks with people. Because, like, you know, in the first one, they kind of, like, they're getting into, like, little groups of people or, like, they're talking to, like, small organizations. Here, they get an interview with Rudy Giuliani. They, like, stay at these people's house for 5 days. They get to perform in front of a conservative rally, an anti-mask rally. Like, it feels like the scale of fucking with people is just way higher than the first.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I also thought the fact that he had to disguise his disguise.
That's fucking great. Everyone
knows
Borat.
Like, he had to disguise his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that he included that in the movie was great.
Like, everyone knows what Borat looks like at this point. You can't be Borat
so
and someone not
the,
realize.
The fact that he got all this shit done after coming out with the first movie and being that popular is super impressive.
Yeah. It's a testament to his ability to fuck with people and his will to fuck with people.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with this one, it was purposeful, you know? Like, he was doing more political stunts.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like, in Borat 1, he, like you could argue he fucked with a lot of, like, the Midwest and, like what it is to, like, be, like a regular, like, white American, you know? Like, because the way he sit down with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, like, that wasn't his, like, premise. That was just kind of, like, the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
While in Borat 2, it was, like, this is, like, his purpose was just, like, show, like, the political, like...
Yeah, just screw with everybody as much as possible.
And a lot of these scenes are fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
again, the conservative rally you brought up.
Yeah, that one ended up going fucking insane, like off camera.
Yeah.
Like, they got real
pissed. Have you seen that, Fabio?
What?
It's like the one time Sacha Baron Cohen has broken.
Yeah, character. Yeah, no, I saw the video. He had to like go into an ambulance. And he had to like hold the door closed.
Yeah, it was like an RV shut. Or something. I think
he was wearing a bulletproof vest underneath his costume.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. Those people were fucking livid. They were like, they wanted to tear him apart. It's fucking amazing.
Well, they were with it in the beginning.
Yeah, when they all started singing along to chop up somebody, I think journalists
like
or something.
Chop him up like the Saudis do.
Like the Saudis,
yeah. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Obama, what are we gonna do? Inject him with the Wuhan flu?
Yeah, you got these lyrics.
Guys doing the Nazi
and it was
salutes.
The best because he got the people he was living with to help him on the song. People he doesn't even know he's been staying with for 5 days during a coronavirus.
Like, that was also crazy. That they said like, yes. Two like really like QAnon people.
Yeah.
Like super conservative. Like deep end. They were just like, yeah, you can come stay with us.
What the scarier? The virus or the Democrat?
The Democrats. and he stayed in character for that whole 5 days.
Like, that's insane. Crazy. That's you can imagine. You wake up, you go to sleep, you are in character. You're not Sacha Baron Cohen. You're fucking Borat. Like, that's...
After retiring Borat for 14 years.
Yeah. Like, you're not... You know? I don't know, man. He changes into characters like he's changing clothes. It's fucking crazy.
Have you ever put a baby inside your daughter? I did. Naughty, naughty.
Oh, God.
That conversation.
Oh, God.
Can you take it out of her? No, no. That's a gift from God. We can't do that. But what do you mean?
the fact that whole place was just a straight up anti-abortion place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that they were like, yeah, it's fine. You fucked your daughter and put a baby in her.
He takes a pause when he says that. It's like, wait, you do that? It's like, yeah, the baby is mine. She is in there. It's like, okay.
They're still staunch on their side, though.
It's like, so can you get out of it? It's like, no, it's God's choice. It's like, you pause there. You definitely thought about it. You definitely know something's wrong, but you decide to keep going.
Also, apparently I found out that the scene where they're like, where she dances and she has like all of her period blood all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, like, most of the people there are actors.
Oh,
it
yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
like a genuine
people,
interaction.
But they didn't
the
know
one guy.
That
the one
who owned the venue didn't know what was going on. But, so they're the ones who had an issue with it, and they're the ones who kicked everyone out.
From my understanding is that a lot of the people that are actors, they didn't know that that's what they were signing up for.
Yeah, they didn't like explicitly also say it. So like they got like some genuine reaction.
Most
but
of the reactions
someone
were genuine.
Knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, okay.
Like, well, that one guy was definitely genuine. The one who said, the one when Bart asked how much would you pay for my daughter, and the guy legitimately said like 500. And then the daughter's like, you fucking asshole.
Like, that's gross.
I feel like there was a cut in there somewhere.
She was easily worth 450, bro.
like there was a cut somewhere in there that took that kind of out of context, I feel like.
You think? I don't think so.
Maybe just a little. Huh. I obviously was still fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no,
but
there's
I don't
no
think it was as bad as it was.
Man. I will say, I think probably one of like the scenes that are the most just like, oh man, wow, they really said that, has to be at the breast implant surgery place.
Yeah.
The doctor is just like,
the plastic surgeon.
God. Dude. Yep. Yeah, plastic surgeon guy is just like, you know, hey, if your father wasn't here.
Yeah, would you give my
high five?
So bad. Oh, that was so bad.
But even like, we mainly talked about all the fucked up parts of it. The scenes with the babysitter and the scenes with, who's the other?
The Jewish woman.
Yeah, the Jewish woman. The two like, really endearing moments that are showing like, hey, well, one, the Jewish woman is, yeah, we spoke about Borat walking in wanting to basically kill himself because
he wants to commit
Jews
suicide.
Yeah.
Because he found out the Holocaust was fake.
And he also lost
from Facebook.
Daughter.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to wait for the next mass shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
So he went to the
But then, like, the Jewish woman, like, sits him down, gives him soup, and then they actually talk.
Yeah, he also comes in as the, like, stereotypical, like,
propaganda
Nazi
shit. Yeah.
Jewish propaganda.
Yeah.
You know
what's
crazy?
The fact that she was willing to like sit down and have a conversation with him when he's dressed like that.
Yeah.
Impressive.
He actually broke character while speaking to her towards the end.
Yeah. Afterwards.
Yeah, he's like, I'm actually doing this for like the movie and everything. Like, he didn't keep her with the genuine confusion.
I think, like, you have to at that point.
Yeah. And what was even greater, he actually, she passed away shortly after. Mm-hmm. And him and his team actually put together like this memorial service. And on top of that, they also had like a little like memoir for her in the end of the movie or like something like that.
Yeah, they had it dedicated to her.
Yeah, and then they like got like, I don't know if it was like donations or something like that, but like they gave her like some like appeal for the public.
I remember that.
And then her family ended up suing him.
Yeah.
But he got thrown out.
He got thrown out.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like, I guess the thing like with Borat and even like, again, with Who Is America, it's always fun to watch him fuck with like shitheads, like people who clearly deserve it. It's like, oh, great time. Fuck with them. do whatever you want. But like when people are like being genuinely kind back to the character, and like, or like in the case where the babysitter, she's like trying to help Tutar like get out of an arranged marriage, is how she sees it.
Yeah, and like get her to be her own person.
Yeah, like there's like genuine kindness there. It's like, man, I kind of feel really bad for the fact that you're getting fucked with right now.
Yeah,
because you genuinely are worried and like a decent human being. But then in comparison to everyone else.
But then he paid $100,000 to her because like she was obviously pissed off after the fact.
Yeah,
and then he like either raised money or straight up gave her $100,000.
Yeah, I heard. I can't remember which of the two it was either, but I did hear that. In which case, please, Sacha Baron Cohen, feel free to fuck with me. Sounds like a great plan.
Actually, no, because if you break into Chris's house, he will murder you.
That was, okay, that was three episodes ago, Tyler. Things change. I'm a new person.
He's
going to
go for the ankles.
Yeah, he's still going to go for
the
ankles.
Oh, my God, the ankles. He's turning to waffles. Catch
Just better safe than sorry. But no, listen, I don't know if I'd want someone to bring it to my house for $100,000, but it'd be tempting.
What was I going to say?
That Chris's jigsaw? Yeah.
No, it was in relation to Borat, too. With, like, the genuineness. Oh, man, it slipped.
Was it from Borat, too?
Yeah, it was like, from Borat, too. So at the end of him talking to her, he like, and she's being super nice and everything, he's like the Holocaust did not happen. And she's like, I was there, I saw it with my own eyes. And he was like, what? And he leaves like super happy. Yeah. He leaves super happy after Tutar showed him on Facebook that the Holocaust was in real. She's like, I went to the one place where nobody lies, Facebook. And I'm like, this is fucking great. Because Facebook had the whole propaganda with with Trump in the
election.
They still
do.
They never will stop.
They don't take anything down.
I think this is a good pivot to the first to Rudy Giuliani, because we talked a little bit about that scene, but I think that scene deserves a little bit more of a lens on it, where Tutar basically sets up a interview with Rudy Giuliani, and he starts getting a little bit handsy
with alcohol, mind you,
with alcohol in the
and
room.
She's 15.
Well, she's 15 according to like.
He doesn't know that part.
Yeah, I don't think he knew that part.
To be fair, Tyler, why are you defending?
But she's also not 15.
Here?
Well, no, it's like, she's not 15. Not 15. Yeah,
like, right, what are you trying to? Like,
I don't think Rudy Giuliani. I don't think he'd willingly have a sit-down interview with alcohol with a 15-year-old. That's just like
probably not.
Yeah, that part is clearly not like said.
That's
so
fair. I do think still that like he did get very.
The fact that everything
was
else
a little,
is
little suspect.
Yeah, I mean, she said. I think she said after the fact, pretty recently. She said she was very like her heart was racing during that scene. Like she was very concerned.
Yeah, so yeah, mine Cohen. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you just fucking look at him, bro. He's a fucking rat.
I haven't said.
He's disgusting.
The fact that she even is like, oh, let's go to the bedroom to get this off. It's like that. You don't need to do that. Yeah, that didn't need to happen.
This it didn't need to.
Also,
go that far.
How deep are you tucking your pants in, bro? tucking your shirt in. Yeah. Like, how long is your shirt?
Lays back to tuck their shirt in.
Also, the fact that he like, oh,
but his hand was at his crotch, dude. Like, how deep are you tucking your shirt in?
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's
it was a foreign, like, she acted as a foreign reporter. The fact that he's like, oh yeah, cool, I'm cool if you no clearance check or anything. You want to go to the bedroom? It's like, it was that easy? All right.
I mean, there's two impressive things. A, it's impressive they even got her into that interview in the first place, and he did not bother. Like, there was no real they either faked all the information they needed or no one even bothered checking. Like, whichever of the two it is, it's impressive.
Yeah.
And it's also impressive that he just really went with it like that. Yep. You know, like hand touch on leg, like, oh, you're doing fine, honey. It's like, Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy.
Rudy baby.
Rudy baby. Yeah. No.
You gotta stop. You gotta stop.
This ain't the 60s anymore, Rudy. We can't do this.
Oh my God. We don't have the mentality anymore. We're not sexist. Yeah.
It's not 1984.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm pretty sure that's not the craziest part of the movie, is that it's the ending.
Oh yeah. The plot twist.
The plot twist.
The biggest
God,
plot twist of the fucking.
So Borat, the beginning of the movie is Borat is allowed to be released from prison because he was in prison from the first movie because it made Kazakhstan look
the
like
gulag,
an
gulag. Tyler, please.
Oh yes, the gulag. Yes,
he's in the gulag.
So yeah, he's allowed to go back to America because the president,
the premier.
Yeah, I was trying to think of it right. The premier asked him to deliver the monkey, the porn star monkey,
Johnny
yeah.
the monkey.
Johnny yes,
the monkey. Don't spill it. Don't fuck up his name, Tyler.
Johnny, he's a legend. Johnny the monkey. So after all that, he obviously fails in doing so because it's then turned into delivering Tutar to Mike Pence, and then that failed. But when he gets back, they're like, "Oh no, you're okay. We won't kill you." And they're like, "And Boyd's like, huh? Okay, that's weird." And then they look at the Boyd, and it's an entire plan laying out the coronavirus, and then we'd find out that Borat was patient zero.
They injected him with the gypsy tears that contained the COVID.
It was meant to protect me from the AIDS. Oh, man. They not tell me this this virus was something that they put in me.
Yeah. How was meeting how was meeting Tom Hanks?
Oh yeah, when they met Tom Hanks. Bro, I forgot about that scene. I'm like, Tom Hanks, oh yeah, because he had COVID.
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
That was just disrespectful. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know, that's so
disrespectful.
Funny.
Like, what famous person got COVID? Tom Hanks, put him in the movie. And they just put Tom Hanks in the fucking movie.
Like, I like how, like, in the beginning, there's like this funny scene where Borat's being shipped all over the world. It's like, oh, it's so funny.
Like a cargo ship.
They're incompetent. They couldn't send him to America, right?
So they're making him go around everywhere.
And then instead, it's just like he goes to Wuhan.
Yeah.
He goes to like all these other places that had heavy amounts of coronavirus.
So bad.
He's just spreading it around the world. He gives a soft wah wah wee wah as he drops his drink.
Wah wah wee wah. And then he chases after him and he's like, and he tells him his whole plan. He's like, I have you on a recording on my magic calculator. He's like, what is that magic calculator? I just love how they exaggerate like the immigrantness of Kazakhstan or like, of Borat.
It's funny though, because like a lot of them are kind of true. Like,
it's exaggerated stereotypes. That's same thing with like This Is Spinal Tap. It's just exaggerated stereotypes.
I think that's like is the point of a mockumentary. You want to keep it like almost a little bit believable, especially when you're like interviewing real people in the case of like Borat. You want to keep it just close enough to believable that they'll fall for it, but absurd enough that when you watch it, it's like, how the fuck did they fall for it? And like, it's a lot of it is just like amping up stereotypes to 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, but in a way that it's just like it's not that crazy. You know, no one's doing anything insane. You still think that, this pop star would be this type of way, or this rock star would be this way, or this immigrant would be this way. And you just gotta sell it on them. Sell them on it.
Yeah, it was just to like bring political awareness to like the political climate in the US. Yeah. And I feel like he did that really well because he kinda just showed how crazy like one party is.
I mean, like, I feel like this was probably like in terms of like he wanted to like bring political awareness with like the election going on this year. And this one definitely does it. This one got more popular than Who Is America? Like, I feel like Who Is America is kind of niche.
People don't really know about Who Is America. It was on
fucking Showtime.
Yeah.
No one has Showtime.
Like, at the beginning, it was big with that first episode and, like, a couple other clips, but then it died down as it went on.
Yeah, so, like, no one really talks about it. I don't feel like that many people have really seen it as compared to, like, Borat 1 and 2. Especially Borat 2, because Borat 2 had the notoriety of Borat 1 at this point. Like, Borat 1 was the biggest
mockumentary. They also released that Giuliani scene early.
Yeah. So like everybody
knew it.
Everybody saw this movie. Like, I think it was like one of the most streamed movies, I think, like of the month or
of
the year.
You could perfect time just to say what came out.
But he had to do it on Amazon Prime Video because movie theaters are kind of
I mean, fuck it. I think that probably worked even easier.
I'm thinking how many people have Amazon Prime right now because they're at home.
And they advertised the shit out of Borat 2, bro. Like, it was the actual shit. I was so excited.
I mean, he was also everywhere, like in character.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing promos.
Yeah, I remember I saw this leak on Instagram, seeing him in the car, like just being confused and like overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
from like another person in Cali who was just recording him as he was just driving by.
Yeah.
Is that Borat? And like nobody really knew what Borat 2 was being filmed. The leaks were going around.
Like even in the commercials, there's two scenes in the commercials that they still play that aren't in the movie. There's one of him on a driving range, like fucking around with some people, and then there's one with Tatar's on the top of his car, because he's like, women are not allowed in cars, men and bears are only.
Oh, yeah.
And like a cop pulls him over, because like you have a kid on top of your car. I want to see that full scene. Yeah. I don't know if it's like out anywhere, but
I wonder if they'll ever release like those extended scenes. If they ever
maybe
they will.
Like a Blu-ray or something. That'd be pretty cool.
I loved like the ending after the coronavirus.
Was great.
In Borat 1, they're like, we no longer have the running of the Jew. We Christian now. And they're poking at fucking Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in this one, we're like, we're not doing that anymore either. We're doing the running of the Americans.
Yeah. It's Trump supporters running around.
Yeah, with like a MAGA hat.
Yeah. Trying to spread COVID.
And then the
at Karen.
Yeah, and then the Karen with the she's like,
Karen
he's like, he's like
with the machine gun from Walmart.
He was like, she went to Walmart for her AR-15.
Unloading.
Here's Dr. Fauci. Oh no.
He's Fauci with the vaccine.
Oh my god.
Yo, that took me out. That was great. That was
so and then it ended on a nice moment with his daughter because she's the
number third.
Journalist and he's the fourth.
Yeah.
It got wholesome at the end.
It got really wholesome.
This was a lot more wholesome than the first one.
Yeah.
It was a pretty wholesome movie. And also, I think it's just a better movie in general. Like, it's Borat 2 is actually really good. Like, Borat 1's a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Borat 2 is a good movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's
Borat 2 has, like, a legitimate plot.
Yeah.
It has, like, a legitimate plot, and then it has, like, actual things to say. Which is
this when you guys, like, do the rankings?
This is pretty much where we pivot right into the rankings. But now we have to do it a little differently. We have to start with 4. Instead of, so what's the worst of them for you guys? Like, what's number 4?
Probably Spinal Tap. I really enjoyed all 4 of them, but in terms of just strength, I think Spinal Tap is. I just get it's older and it's more like Rock Bandy. I don't like really empathize with Rock Bands all too much.
I agree. So that's why I also put Spinal Tap as my number 4 here. You guys,
it's tough.
It's tough.
I know it's not Spinal Tap.
I think it's Popstar for me.
Okay. For me, it's either Borat 1 or Popstar. I think I'm leaning towards Borat.
Okay. So that's you say surprising. Borat as your ending. Interesting. You?
I said Popstar.
You said Popstar. Okay.
Yeah.
3.
Popstar.
Borat 1.
Popstar.
Spinal Tap. I like Borat too much to not have it in top 2, I think.
And 2.
Okay, no, that's where it gets finicky for me. Because how you make a film and not make another film you like equally, you know? So I don't know what I like more.
Oh, you gotta pick, Fabio. You gotta pick. I don't know. Yes, Borat, what is your best feature film?
I put the Borat 2.
Wow,
Borat 2 and number 2. Borat 2 and number 2.
Borat 2 and number 2, yes.
I'm going to put Popstar number 2. I just had a really fun time with that one.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like an easygoing movie, but it's just fun. It's just Lonely Island. Like, it's just a good
time. I think that the reason why Popstar is so low for me is just because, like, I like the other movies more, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I watched Borat 1 when it, like, first came out in 2006.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. You know that fucking naked scene is, like, burned into my head, right?
Imagine watching that 12 times.
Imagine watching it when you're, like, 8.
8, yeah. But that's why Borat's at, like, the lowest spot for me, because I saw it 2 weeks ago after already like, hearing the jokes.
14 years of hype for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Tyler's already sick of it. He had, like, the bias. He's like, fuck the very nice.
Yeah, he's done with it.
Yeah.
And I think Spinal, I mean, Popstar was so low for me because I had a friend that, like, really hyped the shit up out of the movie.
Yeah. Oh. You guys, they told, I forgot, we didn't say the story, but yeah, you guys both had a friend who said that this movie was, like, the best thing they ever saw.
It was good.
It's good. And why are they wrong?
I'm not calling out any names.
Yeah, no, not taking a
somebody.
Shot there.
Damn it, we'll call them Asimov. Asimov said it was the best thing they ever saw.
Sure.
And ever since then, you guys didn't like it as much. I remember you told me because of that, like, to go in with low expectations. So I went in with low expectations.
Mm.
And it was just a fun time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely enjoyable.
I think I had a very good amount of laughs out of that. I think definitely more than Spinal Tap.
I think Spinal Tap I liked more just because it was British. I like British humor, man.
Yeah.
I
British
think
that shit's
hilarious.
Okay, I kind of want to. I'm changing my number 4 to Popstar, by the way.
Wow, so now I'm.
So Spinal Tap is third?
Yeah. I'm really thinking about it, and I really enjoyed Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Popstar just like that dry sense of humor they had.
But the dry sense, like, I'm really thinking about all the jokes again, and I'm like, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I mean,
even though I don't empathize as much, I still enjoyed the jokes.
You're not wrong. I think that most of these movies are pretty close to each other. Personally, I think there's just one outlier, but that, like, most of them are pretty damn close.
Yeah, I think my number 2 is going to be Borat.
Okay.
The original.
Wait, then what'd you put 2 as? What'd you put Borat 2 as? Oh, well,
that's my last one left, Tyler.
Oh, no.
Thanks for spoiling my fucking rankings.
I don't know. I thought you said it already. That's why I was confused.
Right at the finish line.
No,
Tyler,
mine's Popstar, Spinal Tap, Borat.
And then Borat.
And then,
spoilers.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks.
God, oh, I'm sorry. The listeners couldn't figure that one out.
Not without you hand-holding them. We respect our listeners. We treat them
like
they're
educated listeners.
Yeah. Come on.
Chris, what's your number 2?
I think it was Popstar.
Did you forget?
It was Popstar.
Yeah.
They kind of do blur together. They kind of, like, they all keep switching around.
And now for number 1?
Yeah. I mean, my butt 2 is Borat 2, so.
Wait, everyone put Borat 2?
Yeah.
What's your number 1?
Oh, really? What? Can you want to think
we're
about it?
We're on the number ones now,
yeah,
Tyler.
It's your turn for number 1, Tyler.
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap at
fair.
Number 1.
Wow. Yeah.
Fair.
Okay. That's fair.
Interesting.
That's
fair. I think this might be the first week where we all have something different.
Did you expect anything? It was 4 movies and 4
that's
people.
That's true. It does make it a little bit easier.
Yeah. And the Borat.
So yours is Borat 1.
And mine's Borat 1.
Borat 2?
Borat 2, yeah.
There we go. Wow. And that's the binge. I'm actually glad we finally got a week where everything was different.
Yeah.
What was the lowest one for most people? Popstar?
I think most people put Popstar at the bottom. I like Popstar a lot more. I put it at the second.
Mm.
And then...
Why'd you put Spinal Tap at 1? Just because we all have it, like, pretty low.
Yeah, you have it pretty low. I like the humor of it a lot.
He's
and
British.
Plus, yeah, people think I'm British.
Can't you guys tell?
Yeah, and I mean, like, I listen to any music, and I know the type of rock bands that they're making fun of. And that's why, like, I thought of, obviously they're not making fun of Radiohead, but Radiohead is what most people think of when they think of a pretentious band.
Okay.
So I just thought of them as that. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Actually, I can understand why you liked it more. Because you're also just really big into music.
So yeah. Like, the music guy here. Yeah. So that makes sense. Okay, I can respect your opinion here, Tyler. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to
not respecting it.
Yeah.
As opposed to every other week.
Every other week we agreed.
That's
yeah. Every
that's
other week. This is the first week where we've all had a different.
No,
game.
Last week I also had the.
Yeah, you had record.
But me and Chris had the same ranking last week.
I think it was exactly.
It was exactly the same.
Yeah.
But that's the bench. Thank you guys for joining us again this week. And next week we're gonna see the greatest hunt possible, cat and mouse game. That should be pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, I had fun watching all three.
Those were the really good ones. So.
Yeah.
Our guest has nothing to say here.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You can use
Jinkuya.
You can use the door. You don't have to jump out the window.
Actually, you know what? Borat, can you please sign us off with the Kazakhstan national anthem?
Kazakhstan is the greatest.